It is a privilege to worship the Lord. I'm not fighting with the Holy Spirit. I'm just trying to get what He wants. Really don't appreciate it if He changes my message while I'm singing this last chorus. But I just... All worship is not received by the Lord. We must worship so it's received by the Lord. Unreceived worship is an empty exercise. Do you know why in the old days we used to go to the altar before church? And so our hearts would be correct. So our hearts would be right so we could worship. You hating your neighbor and singing, "I worship you, O Lord," is useless. You say, "Pastor, how can you say that?" Because the Bible says it. Now you're going to have to forgive me. This is just, I was standing here 35 seconds ago, and the Lord brought this to me, so I don't have the scripture references that I might need some scripture searchers to help me out with the scriptures. Worship is a holy thing. It opens the doors of heaven. It opens the doors of the throne room that we might have fellowship with Almighty God. But that door is not cheap. You can't just slam bang your way in. I fear much of our worship falls flat, has no effect. Do you understand? When worship gets to the Father, then He begins to open the windows of heaven to pour you out a blessing that you can't contain. Do you understand? When worship breaks through, that the virtue of Jesus begins to flow through the house. Do you understand that when worship breaks through to the throne room, that all the things of God become available to you because you're in His presence? We sang those nice little choruses in His presence. In the presence of Jehovah. It's been one of my favorite choruses since 1996. On our way out here, we dropped our oldest son, Andrew, off at Evangel College. We went to church there that Sunday. A friend of mine took us to his church and they sang that chorus. And so, as long as this church has been in existence, we have sung that in the presence of Jehovah. But it comes through worship, friends. I'll say it again. Worship is not cheap. Jesus paid a terrible price so that we might worship a holy God. And that worship might be received. Cain and Abel. Cain brings the vegetable stew to the Lord. And Abel takes one of his sheep, an unblemished sheep out of his flock, and kills it and offers it as a sacrifice unto the Lord. It's the first, and I'm sure they probably did it before, but it's the first recorded time where we see this worship of God. And Abel's sacrifice was accepted, but Cain's was denied. And when Cain's irreverent worship came before God, he refused it. He says, "It's not what I said to do. I do not receive it. Cain then allowed the same devil that spoke to his mother to get into his heart. And he looked with jealousy over at Abel. And Abel's there. He's got his hand raised. The smoke's coming off of his sacrifice. And God begins to pour the blessing out upon Abel. And he says, "Oh, I'm the oldest one. Why would God receive his and not mine? It's because your heart's not right, Cain." The problem wasn't that he was a vegetable farmer and Abel was a shepherd. The problem was that he thought he was more important, that he could approach God any way he wanted to. You and I do not have the right to approach God. And this is why I don't like slam bang church services. You don't have to like me for this. I don't like sloppy dressing. I don't think we should wear ripped jeans on a platform where we're representing Jesus Christ. I think you ought to look halfway decent. There's a reason for it. It's because we are approaching the very throne room of God together. This is no Mickey Mouse Club. This is not Pollyanna. This is not Disney World or Disneyland. That we are approaching the Creator of all the heavens and the earth and the universe, and it is solemn business. We must make sure that our worship doesn't end at the ceiling, that our worship ascends into the heavens. And you cannot get your worship received until your heart is right. Cain's heart wasn't right. Somebody give me the scripture of the two guys. Was it Hophni and Phinehas? No. Who sent the false fire? False fire. Is it? Oh, I'm looking at Jamie. I think he touched on this. At Nadab and Abihu. They had watched, was it Aaron? They had watched offer the sacrifices, and God came down in His glorious presence, and they said, "Oh, let us do it." They drank strange drink, and they offered strange fire. Do you know what the result was? Their worship wasn't received, to say the least. Ananias and Sapphira. They came to worship God in the offering. And they watched Barnabas come. And they watched Barnabas come and said, "God has moved upon me." The Holy Spirit said to sell this 20 acres of land that had been in my family for years. He told me to sell it and put it into the treasury of the church so that we could minister to the needs of people and spread the gospel. So here it is, glory to God. There's no big deal about it. Glory to God. Other people came and gone. Ananias and Sapphira. You know, that's a sketchy story to me, Ananias and Sapphira. They said, "Well, we got about 30 acres. And they went and sold 30 acres of their property and gave the church 20 acres of the worth, of the value of it. But they made believe that they were giving it all. Now, in today's church, we would take whatever they gave with a smile. We don't care if you don't give it all. No, we're not going to try. No, nothing's going to happen to you. Hallelujah. We'll be thankful." That's why I don't believe in an emotional pleas to get people to give. That is manipulation. And in the worst form of witchcraft. Oh, you're going to wish I didn't listen to the Lord here. You give to get. You give to be seen getting. Yeah. And the Lord knows. And He protects His church. And so Ananias and Sapphira come, and it's offering time. "We sold 30 acres, and here's the money for the 30 acres. And Peter knows the look. because Peter denied Jesus three times. And Jesus looked at him. And Peter looked at them. Actually, I guess it was Ananias alone. So that's what you... This is literally off the cuff. So... And Peter looks at Ananias. He just looks at him. He gives him an opportunity to say, well, we're not giving it all. We invested in an IRA with the rest of it. He never said that. I think if they had come and said, listen, we sold 30 acres. We're giving 20 acres of it to the church. We are keeping 10 acres for our retirement. I don't know if this... The problem was, Peter said the problem was, you're lying to the Holy Ghost. And so, he said, here's the 30 acres worth. Peter looked at him, gives him an opportunity. He says, you're lying to the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, you got your hand raised, and you're singing the songs. You have bitterness in your heart. You're living in an adulterous affair. You got hidden sin in your heart and in your life. Listen, Ananias. You're lying to the Holy Ghost and your worship is not received and you wonder where the blessings of God are. They're not there because you can't open the door of worship in your current condition. And I don't care if you're a preacher, evangelist, missionary, whatever you are. It doesn't matter. The door to heaven has been closed on you, sir, ma'am. And the only way to open it again is to get right with God. To confess your dirty, rotten, lousy sin. I don't care if you've been a deacon in the church for 50 years. If your sin is there, your worship is blocked, you're not getting through to God, I don't waste my time coming to you for prayer because your prayers will not be answered. You see, most prayers don't get answered because we don't have access to the throne room. And you don't have access to the throne room because Jesus' blood has not covered all your sin. Let's quit having pastoral conferences. And let's have a get-together where we all just go to the altar, bow the knee, put our foreheads on the floor, and say, oh God, forgive me a sinner. Cleanse me and make me right again. I repent of the foolishness of my heart and my mind. I repent of my foolishness because I want my worship to get through to you. When your worship gets through, it's a two-way street. The worship goes up and the glory comes down. Let me say it again. The true worship goes up and the glory comes down. If the church would ever get off of their imbecilic procedures and programs where they think that the song leader is the worship leader, he is not. The Holy Ghost is the worship leader. We do what He says to do. We sing what He says to sing. We go to the altar when He says to go to the altar. We do what He wants us to do. What are we, ignorant? Yes, we are. If I get one more advertisement of a conference and they tell me all 16 people that are the great speakers, I want to hear from God. I want to hear from God. I want to have a place where I can worship collectively, corporately, and get through to the throne room. Your problems, listen to me. If your worship gets through, God will solve your problem. If your worship gets through to heaven, then no devil's going to stop you. Not going to stop your family. You begin to worship, your worship gets through. He'll begin to tighten the screws on those prodigals in your life. Well, we got churches full of people. They got worship times on their billboard, but there's no worship going on. Oh, they're singing songs. Yes, they're raising their heads. Some are jumping up and down, but none of it's getting through. It's on social media, but it's not in heaven's courts. The Holy Ghost stopped me today, right here in this service, where I'm singing that chorus. And you heard the word, quit resisting.
about. On the day of accountability, and there's a day of accountability coming for each and every one of us, I am going to have to answer for whatever I refuse to put under the blood. Every grudge, every offense, everything that's kept me hating somebody, it must be put under the blood so that I can enter into the throne room and my worship will be received. So that I might be part in Revelation of the innumerable group of people that are gathered around the throne from every tribe, every nation, every people, every skin color, every linguistic origin stands around the throne and worships. And the only way you get to worship in heaven is to be able to worship from earth and get it through to heaven. Tim, come. Because that's all he gave me. I could preach all this sermon. I got it. It's about 6 pages. Will this church ever get to the point where our worship leaves the roof and enters into the courts of glory? It depends on you and it depends on me. What am I going to harbor in my soul? What dark spot in my soul will I hold on to? The church has become extremely good at something, and it's almost scary. And what we've become extremely good at, because of our circumstances, we justify our sin. We say, well, here's the situation. What do you mean with it? Well, I don't do this because of that. It will affect me economically. If I leave my girlfriend, we cohabitate. If I leave her, I don't know what I'm going to do financially. Well, once you do that, get right with God, then you'll worship, and then God will open the windows of heaven and pour out upon you enough so you can have your own place and live holy unto the Lord. Pastor, you don't understand. If I stand up to my children and my niece and nephew that are homosexual and they invited me to the wedding, you don't know what kind of grief it had caused me and my family. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you the grief that you're going to get in the future. It will block your worship. And if you can't get your worship to glory, we're hung. We're all hung. Cain killed Abel. And that's always the case. The faker will always try to destroy the genuine. Always. They will always try to persecute them and put them down. And for the first generation, I guess, is Adam and Eve. Within the second generation of mankind, we already have a murder. We didn't go for any stealing or lying. We just went right to murder. And Abel's blood still cries out of the ground. Will you worship God, or will you make believe you're worshiping God? Will you humble yourself before a righteous, holy God? We read it this morning in Psalms. The blessings go to those that fear the Lord. Because if you'll fear the Lord, you won't have to fear anything else. He'll come and do everything that you need to have done. I'm going to ask us today. I'm not pointing my finger. I'm asking us, how much of our worship today got through to glory? And how much of it was deflected by the ceiling? How many people here know they're not quite right with God? You look nice. You sang the songs. On the outside, you're okay, but on the inside, you're not right. And I'm not just talking about sin. You're distressed. You're filled with anxiety. You're filled with confusion. None of those things come from the Lord. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be confused. For He's not given us a spirit of fear. But He's given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. This morning, Tim, if you'll play something worshipful. And as He's playing, if you ask yourself, we're not doing it for each other. We don't look at each other here. No. You're looking at somebody else. You need to throw up a mirror. We're just asking ourselves, I'm here today. Am I prepared to worship and get my worship through to God? Has He heard my voice when I sang in Your presence? When I sang, we're standing on holy ground. Did I get through? Or is there an inhibitor in my mind and in my life? As Tim plays, I am opening up these altars that will not have strange fire on them. We only desire that which God has for us to bring forth and do and be. And so if there's anybody here this morning, you say, you know what, I need to take something to that altar so that my worship can be heard. So that I know I'm getting through to the throne room. I don't want anything in my life that would inhibit me getting to that throne room. Don't wait for somebody else. Don't look around to see who's watching. But if you need to find a place at this altar, get up out of your chair and come on down here and meet the Master. For my Bible says He will abundantly pardon. Hallelujah. He will abundantly get us in the right shape.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true.
Come on, don't be afraid. Don't be bashful.
Change my heart, oh God. May I be like You.